I am not the bad guy. I am not the bad guy. I am not the bad guy, not the bad guy. No.
Good evening and welcome to this installment of the Trundlecast, our attic-based dripping cauldron of all things Trundle Manor. Trundle Manor, your one-stop source for fetid nightmare fuel to elicit wet dreams of the urinary variety. This is our faithful recreation of what it's like to be in the inner circle of the Trundle elite. So feel privileged and keep those wads of greenbacks tucked safely in your desk drawer, because this podcast only requires your soul.
I am not the bad guy. You once thought I was.
Thank you, Trundlefiles. This week's Trundlecast will be split into three in some sort of a way, as we've got interviews with the three darkest things that have ever entered the manor: a vampire, a witch, and our resident black cat. So stay tuned for the interviews that will be split into three different installments. So it will be a very stay tuned-y kind of an event. So we want you to listen to the Trundlecast and pay attention, because this is a very special third Trundlecast.
Not the bad guy, not the bad guy. No. Like a knife cut into your skin and knock out the old crap and give you the new rap. Like a running back, I jump into your head, knock out the old crud and give you the new rub. I am trying to kill you.
Yeah, bunch of red.
All right, well, this is another edition of the Trundlecast, Trundle Manor's attic-based version of what is inside of our heads. I heard that.
I'm sorry you heard it. I was adjusting it to where I'm sitting.
You're an asshole.
Keep talking.
What? That was Velda Von Minx adjusting her microphone because she doesn't know how microphone reverberation works.
Who among us does?
With us today is Velda Von Minx and a good... Igor, Polly, Billy, whatever she wants to go by at the moment. She's got another name, but that's the family name, so we'll leave that at home. This is yet another Trundlecast, as I said, and this week we talk about... we talk to a vampire. You'll hear the very first installment of Brian Vamp, the actual vampire that does some musical acts at Trundle Manor. Also, we've got a real-life witch that we're going to cut in the first part of her interview. And I think we might even have a little interlude with Little Devil, Trundle Manor's resident black cat.
Little black cat.
So on this episode, we've...
Well.
On this episode, we've got a vampire, a witch, and a black cat. This was Velda's idea. This is going to be some fun after Halloween fun.
Yes, and it doesn't go beyond that. I had no other explanation than... Isn't this just friggin' cute?
Yeah, I tried to find out what the hell she was going for, but really... It was just kind of that old-fashioned black
I like
hearts.
Halloween symbols. What can you do?
So anyway, Paulie, I want to make sure you talk into that microphone directly. Get that thing right up to those luscious lips of yours.
Is this close enough for you?
That's beautiful. You're reverberating my eardrums.
Fantastic.
Paulie, obviously our resident sloppy bartender, which we'd love anyway, and I'll gladly clean up after her if I have to. But so this week was... it's our Zombie Jesus Week.
Yeah.
As a lot of people put it, it's Christian Easter Week.
And or gorging yourself on ridiculous amounts of chocolate week.
We at Trundle Manor don't mind celebrating because that means we get to go to family members' houses. That's not part of it, by the way. But we do get to eat a lot of ham, so that is part of it.
If I can have candied ham and not be punished, I'm happy.
Any amount of...
Spaz pointed out, Jesus is much more of a vampire when you think about it than a
zombie. I did read that. He made a lot of sense there.
Excellent, excellent arguments there.
Yes, yes. We're all wrong here at Trundle Manor, but... Anyway... Get that right up on you. Yeah, did that fall down on its own?
Yeah, it keeps falling down.
I'll stop talking about things. Yeah. On its own it fell down?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I had it pointed up and it just drooped like an old dick.
What a ball sack.
It drooped like an old dick.
What a drippy ball sack.
Oh, man.
Ooh, dear.
Yeah, right?
That man should go to the hospital.
You really should see a doctor.
That is not a good screwdriver. That won't work.
Is that even a screwdriver at all? What the hell is that thing?
It's a screwdriver.
From caveman
time.
That's
the other one that I got here. This is... Oh, that's an iron spike.
Put that shit away.
I'm going through Trundle Manor's attic drawers, the drawers of Mr. Arm. You know what? That's kind of a screwdriver. You want to see if that'll tighten that? There we go.
Probably.
Doing
actually, maybe.
Doing some fixery at Trundle Manor. Making sure our audio equipment is up to date. So anyway, this week... I'll turn that off. So anyway, this week at Trundle Manor, we did a whole lot of soul searching. By that, I mean I had a lot of downtime and did a bunch of nothing. But, good. I turned you back up. So, I'm dripping my absinthe everywhere.
Oops. It's not the only thing you're dripping everywhere.
I'm not that old. Anyway, so girls, tell us a little bit about your weeks while I clean myself up.
You go first.
Come on, Polly, don't lag on me now.
Oh God, ready for some dead air?
On the spot. The last interview that we did with you, I cut out a lot of dead air. It's fine though. We love you anyway.
No, just be natural.
Yeah.
Are you suggesting that I stop talking for a moment? I'm sorry.
Yeah, my dream was kind of realized, but it was at the wrong moment. God damn it. So. Though, Polly, since you weren't able to go home, you ended up going to dinner with Zelda's family, didn't you?
I did, and it was a delightful experience. I met her gay grandfather and his delightful partner.
I was hoping you would at some point.
Oh, that was
that's the
that was
most interesting thing about my side of the family.
That was just excellent. We talked at great length about William Blake. I must say, even as an art history major and British history and author aficionado, I was sweating bullets during this discussion.
My grandfather's partner has spent 35 years, he said,
give or take.
Yeah, working on an exhaustive biography of William Blake, and I wish I had the title of the book with me now. It's downstairs somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But he finally has it published after many long years of working at it.
Yeah, I don't know very much about William Blake. You want to fill us in on what he did? Were his drawings, were they part of the Homer's Iliad? Homer's Odyssey? Was that? Did he do sketches for that? Were that some of his pen and ink drawings?
You know, I don't remember.
No, I don't either.
We can look it up for later. Yeah.
Well, it bothered me that this guy had so much of a fascination with this guy for so long, and I didn't even know the name when he first started talking about it. I know I've seen his works because I saw them, you know, subsequently. Yeah. I just didn't have a name put to them.
He was an artist and a poet.
Right, that was a big that was a big part of it.
And he had a lot of religious themed and mythological themed works, I believe.
Right.
I don't know much either, I should.
Yeah. No, it was a name that kept popping up throughout my art history and literature studies, and I must admit that mostly has fallen out of my head as being useless information ever since, you know, my dissertation.
So something else that we did this week too, I mean, you know, going past family dinners, but something else that we ended up doing this week was we hosted a few other events that unfortunately Polly wasn't able to come to because she does work in the service industry, and that was some of the busiest nights. But we hosted, I think that we hosted three parties in the last week for the Next Door Neighbors,
the Next Door theater show
that do theater,
which they will be featured in one of the upcoming podcasts. We interview the two producer director writers and one of the stars of the show.
They'll be after our series of the vampire, the witch, and the black cat.
Yes. We know a lot of interesting people, and I realize that it happens all the time, but now that we've been doing the podcast, we're actively searching for weird people. I realize just how many come into our life week to week. It's kind of ridiculous.
Well, it's less searching, and it's more they just kind of happen.
Oh, they do. That's the way we set it up.
We have so many people showing
up
at Toronto Manor that we have to do interviews every time they're here. That's a very fun... That was a fun interview, and it was good to have them for the party. They were, you know, Well, they're theater people, so a lot of them end up going home early because they have very early actual jobs.
Yeah.
That they
yeah.
have to, unfortunately.
To actually support themselves.
Yeah. They probably earn enough to keep them in theater.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Just enough to keep them in their house, I'm sure. Well, one of them is actually going to school to be a lawyer or something to
yes,
do with
the
law,
one who plays Elizabeth
cool.
Bathory is
oh,
in
no
law
kidding.
School. Doesn't mm-hmm. that just make all the sense in
oh,
the world?
Oh, that tickles me so.
The yeah. bloodsucker is a lawyer.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy.
So, that you know, there was that. That was pretty cool. And because we like hosting things at Trundle Manor, I think, more than anything, we like having people over to the manor as opposed to going to places. You won't really find Mr. Arm and Velda out on the town. We don't...
Unfortunately.
We don't do that well. Unfortunately for you, I'm quite happy here at Trundle Manor. I don't like being shut in. I have nothing to do with that. It's just there hasn't been anything worth me going out to that I want to give my efforts to, you know. Sometimes Atrocities comes up. That's worth going to. There are a few rockabilly shows that are fun to go to.
Here and there.
But really, like, actually going out and giving a crap about other stuff is tough for us. And it's not because we don't care. It's just, you know, we're always in the midst of something.
That being said, I can't wait to see you at Swing Dance when I finally get you out there.
I know.
I want to go, but I might play the fifth on my foot. I'll try, because I'll try dancing.
That's true. I don't think you have danced since you've broken your foot.
Yeah,
that's
screwed up a
I've
lot,
always so. Wanted to learn to swing dance.
Swing dancing, I must say, every week when I'm watching these people, I'm exhausted just watching
so,
them.
Yeah. Did you say it's like almost a class, or they it's just swing dancing?
Oh, well, here, can we
right?
take a moment to put in a plug for
yeah,
James Street's weekly swing dance evening at James Street Gastropub and Speakeasy, 4224 Lynn Street, Pittsburgh, PA. Every week from 7 to 8, there is a lesson, an open lesson, and it's always very basic, so it's for beginners. Mm-hmm. And there's people who come every week, like advanced dancers who come every week and take the same lesson over and over. Because, you know, practice makes perfect, so they don't mind doing the basics over and over. And, yeah, and they do an hour-long lesson, and from 8 to 11, the live band plays. And it's usually either the James Street All-Stars, who are a collection of musicians who come to James Street frequently, and the Boilermakers Jazz Band, who are excellent band. I mean, the All-Stars are great too, don't get me wrong, but the Boilermakers are my special friends.
Nice.
We have an excellent relationship, and they dress period.
Do they have zoot suits and all
oh,
that?
Oh, they do.
Oh,
they
fantastic.
Do. And their lead singer,
wonderful.
Jennifer McNulty, is just a dynamite vision. She comes every week in these adorable little vintage shoes and hats,
wonderful.
Has a little suitcase, so she's just a vision. I love her.
Wonderful. So they'll be providing drinks for the next month for Toronto Manor for that plug, right? Is that how that's going? James
well, I will.
Better start stealing those drink caddies and bringing them down here. Toronto Manor always needs more booze.
Want me to get
burned? Yes. No, I'm kidding. No,
we will have to go to swing dancing at some point.
Yeah, it sounds like a fun thing.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, I'm all into learning to dance with you. We can't really be the Adamses if we know no two steps.
It would just be wrong somehow. And I've got plenty of 40s dresses that need to be taken out.
Right. And I need a lot of things that need taken out. So that'll be fun to get us
there. on my birthday, I actually worked on my birthday, which, you know, I had no problem doing because I just told every customer who came to the bar, said, hey, how you doing? It's my birthday.
Yay.
Made great money that night.
Fantastic.
And the Boilermakers were playing that night, and they got me a piece of cake and sang happy birthday to me. And then they had me do what they call the birthday jam, which is where they have the victim stand in the middle of the dance floor while they play, and whoever wants to dance with them can just come up and grab them and swing them around. That's pretty much what it was for me, because, I mean, I've watched this every week, but I rarely participate. And one of my and all my regulars came up and danced with me, and there was this one guy who comes in all the time. And he is a little guy, but my God, he flung me around like a little rag doll. I was actually afraid he was going to throw me into the wall.
Oh,
it was like a little tiny Hulk.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Brilliant.
Easily a head taller than him.
Could you imagine being a part of that and nobody comes up to dance with you?
Oh.
How sad would that be? You know, let me tell you right now, that's how socialization worked in the 1940s. People, instead of going to clubs or whatever, you know, Facebook, how people socialize now, everybody knew how to dance. And
right.
dancing was basically socially acceptable public sex. I mean, you're very close to somebody, you're getting very intimate with them, and, you know, you had your dance card at a public dance that got filled, and those were the people that you danced with all night.
Mm-hmm.
That was the way that the world used to work. Everybody's grandparents used to know how to dance with each other. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they know a lot more about physical contact than we do.
Yeah, and I it was
one of the few times they could physically get close.
In a
public setting, dancing. Right. It's like, oh, I can feel what's going on under there by grabbing you and rubbing up against you, dancing. Okay, let's get married.
Yeah, basically.
Close enough.
I don't know if you guys ever saw this movie, but one of my favorite movies growing up was called Hope and Glory. It was set in the
40s.
And one scene is where the teenage daughter is drawing seams up the backs of her legs because she doesn't have any socks, which was a common practice back then. They would dye their legs sometimes with shoe polish or like juice of like some kind of
to look like stockings.
To make it look like stockings. And
use eyeliner pencil to draw.
Yeah.
And, I don't have that steady of a hand.
She was dancing with this soldier, and he's like, "Those are interesting stockings you're wearing." And she said, "Oh yeah, what about him?" He's like, "It's interesting that you're not wearing garters. They just seem to disappear up your ass."
Aw, that's the sweetest thing.
That soldier later in the movie gets her pregnant, but...
Nice. Well, I noticed all the way up to her ass.
Yeah. Excellent flick. Yeah.
Now, what else did we do at Trundle Manor? I know that we had, we got an interesting addition to the collection that might be put out there for sale that was actually part of the ladies next door.
Yes, the one who played Elizabeth Bathory, her sister is a vet tech, and she has delivered us some kitten fetuses where this lady does 75 spayings, neuterings per day for cats. So she gets a lot that are pregnant,
Yeah, and this isn't the killing of, innocent kittens, so you don't really have to worry about that. Anytime that you end up taking your cat in to be
statistically a lot may be pregnant.
Yeah, to be spayed, sometimes it might already be pregnant, so you're taking out the baby. So be aware of that, folks, and also be aware of the fact that we're going to be offering kitten fetus necklaces very soon.
Yes, that is part of our plans, yes.
That's something that they are so tiny and so cute that they have to be around your neck. I think that's a big deal, right, maybe?
Everybody likes a little kitten in their lap. I mean, tinier one on your neck,
it's a conversation
of course.
Piece.
Yeah. I might have to wear two necklaces. One for the stereotypical Trundle Manor octopus tentacle preserved in the same fluid as the giant squids of London, England's Museum of Natural History.
Those are what we give to children that are impressed with us or people that we'd like to very much impress ourselves.
And a tiny kitten fetus that is just too cute for me to pass up. So these are the things that are Mr. Arm's going to be carrying around with him every day now. We're going to be trying to get into Atrocities, which is a show that I just said something about.
Exhibition.
I don't have any future information on that now, but that's somewhere that you might be able to find the Trundle lights.
They finally got their Kickstarter happening, and I think that right now they're currently planning all of the atrocities that will be presented. Yeah, but no, that's probably going to be one of the biggest events of us for the year as far as selling our merchandise and our jewelry and artwork goes, because it's all weird people with exotic tastes that we hope will enjoy what we enjoy.
Yes. Yeah. We have some friends that are going to be selling there, I'm sure. He sells every time. It's Bilzebub. Bilzebub.
The bone collector.
Who does some bone art and bony things. He's kind of fun.
He does
to
bony
look
things.
At. Yeah. I went to art school with him, and I'm very impressed with things that he creates, but like every other weirdo out there, he doesn't come out of his hole any more than we do, so we never get him to the manor too often, but maybe someday we'll have him on the podcast.
Yeah, I think I've met him exactly once in the 4 years odd I've been around. So.
Yeah. And... What else do we have going on this week? What's something?
At the end of this week, we have our friend Mia, who has our friends Mia and Sam. They're a photographer and painter that have been doing fetish, R to X-rated theme shows at the house. And our friend Mia is doing a photography show based on, it's called RAR. That is different humans dressed as different kinds of animals. And I am featured in some of her photographs as a human bat lady. Mm-hmm. And they will be, the art show itself is on Friday at the Pittsburgh Art House in, where do they live?
East Liberty?
Not East Liberty, no. Highland Park. The Pittsburgh Art House in Highland Park.
Oh, yeah, one of the SSOA members.
Yes, our dear friends Admiral and Aurora live there. And
Oh, we also have our art show coming up very soon.
Yes, on the 18th.
On the 18th, which is the first one of the month. This is pen and ink drawings by, help me out here, Janet.
Sharon Bergmark.
I thought it was... Oh, sorry, we were just at Velda's family's house, and there was a Janet involved in that.
There's a Janice.
Oh, there's a lot of Jans in this world. Right? Anyway... Sharon Bergmark. Now that I've said it, I remember saying that a bunch, but we interviewed her earlier on.
If there was a Janet, actually, my family would call her a slut all the time, and I'd just be thrown out of the family, so don't worry about it.
Actually, on the very first Toronto Manor podcast, we talked to Sharon in the attic here, and that was one of our first, and I think one of our best interviews.
It was a great interview.
It was fun. So we're going to have her show on the 18th. The opening, you'll be able to meet the artist. We're opening at 7 o'clock. We might try to have some kind of entertainment going on. We're not quite sure what's happening there. Also, we've got Perkins' birthday is coming up on the 25th
Perkins
of this month.
Robot.
Yes, our shiny metal friend. Well, not so shiny anymore. He's been through a few wars.
He's over 100, I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm, quite old. Polly Villy here would understand that he is of British stock.
Oh, yes.
Well, sort of Indian stock, but civilized by the Brits, I suppose.
He doesn't choose to talk about the wars, and that's how you know he had hard ones.
Yeah, very hard ones. He's very PC.
That's how
about
you
the
pick the manservant, the one that doesn't talk about his past.
We British are very not large fans of talking about our pasts and feelings and such. We prefer to live in the present. Thank you very much.
I like that.
So that's the two major things happening this month at Toronto Manor is the 18th and the 25th.
Yes.
So please join us for those. They both start around 7 o'clock in the evenings on those dates.
Saturday.
We do encourage BYOB if you want to bring some stuff. We should have something on tap to some extent. 21 and over, obviously, for those things, but we will welcome your company. So, and we would like for you to welcome Sharon Bergmark into the Toronto Manor family and Perkins into life.
Perkins' birthday is also Mr. Arms' birthday.
No, you don't have to say that.
I know I don't, but I feel as though I should. Obviously, no presents or anything are required, but some well wishes and some birthday kisses for both the robot and the gentleman are preferred.
No, In fact, I would actually love to watch you kiss the robot.
Yes, you two should kiss each other.
You know what? You know what? There will be photo ops for Perkins' birthday. We're going to be setting him up in the dining room, and our good friend Jimmy Z is going to be doing some photo ops. He's got his professional photo equipment that he will set up and stand there. Polly, I'd have you do it, but you enjoy mingling, so I would never
stick you with that all night.
I would never stick you in one place. He likes doing this stuff, so we put him there. And he does do beautiful photos, so make sure to come in your best of, if you want your best robot outfit, bring some robo lube, or as we say, booze, and enjoy yourself on that night.
For all you awkward kids who do not have a date for your no doubt upcoming prom, please take this opportunity to come to Trundle Manor and make your Perkins your prom date.
Absolutely, he is available for prom.
More than to escort you to your sad little prom.
I might, for no fee at all, just put little hearts around the photograph before I print it and send it to you.
You absolutely should.
So that's what's been going on at Trundle Manor. We have a very long episode. This time, excuse me, I've got Toronto Manor break burps. That's our sips. Let me do one now. Everybody, here's to Toronto Manor, as always.
Cheers.
In the air. Here's to the manor. Here's to what we're doing. And here's to all of you out there that are brave enough to listen to this tripe that we put out on a weekly basis. And we look forward to creating some more for you in the future. Possibly this episode might even have a few trundle breaks followed by insanity. So we'll see what happens on that home.
Enjoy.
So I hope you all enjoy. For the manor, I'm Mr. Arm.
I'm Vella Devon Minx.
And I'm Villy.
Well, hello, my name is Brian, and I'm quite a normal person. Until the day I was bitten by a bat. Then after that, I started acting a little bit different. I started sleeping in and wearing lots of black.
Then I went walking around the streets at midnight, looking for someone I could devour, I mean enjoy. I came across a lady dancing in the moonlight, and I said, all I need is a taste of you, I promise not to suck you dry. Suck you dry. So I took her home, and I put her in a coffin, till the day was done and the night returned. Then I opened up her lid and gave her little taste of me. She took me in and she said she wanted more. So we went walking around the streets at midnight, looking for someone we could devour, I mean enjoy. We came across a dude lying bleeding in the middle of the street, and I said, now all you need is a taste of him, careful not to suck him. All you need is a taste of him, careful not to suck him dry. Well, the coroner came a-zooming down the street, put this dude's body in his hearse. I said, man, I don't think he's dead, he just needs a blood transfusion. We'll take some too, if you don't mind, if you don't mind. If you don't mind. The coroner gave 2 quarts of blood to the victim, and gave us both a quart to share, a quart to share. The dude woke up and he thanked us for saving him. He said, how can I repay you? I said, we'd love a meal. So we all went walking around the streets at midnight, looking for someone we could devour, I mean enjoy. We came across a band of rustic barbarians. The dude said, those were the ones who beat me up, I just wanna see them. I don't care if you drink them up, I just wanna see them. So we completely drank them up, I guess we meant to suck them dry. Oh yeah, suck them dry.
Suck. Okay, on the last Trundle Manor Trundle Cast, we inadvertently invited vampires into the mix. We let them into the house through the podcast alone.
Inadvertently.
I know every single one of them. So right now in the attic with us is Brian Vamp, B-R-Y-A-N.
Yes. Vamp.
Yeah. And he is soon to be Trundle Manor's resident vampire. Welcome, Brian. Thank you for coming.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for being on this Trundle Cast. You're on number 3. How did we find you?
1, 2, 3. 2 lightning bolts.
I'm sure I could put some sound effects in there.
Oh, we can find some.
So how did you find us, Brian? Like, how was I don't remember how we ended up now. Getting in touch with each
no,
other.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
My online stupid phone interrupting me.
That's a pretty ringtone.
Hello?
Beautiful. Someone was calling for the vampires.
Oh.
Which is another story. I won't belabor that point. But she's no longer here.
Oh, okay. She got staked, did she?
Yeah, she took off. And she is now her own person. I cannot control in the vampire world. We do not try to control our lady vampiruses. They are just as powerful as the Mendel vampires.
It's just mortal women that you
and
can control,
we
right?
We cannot.
Is she your fledgling, or?
Well, yes, I did have one.
Okay.
One of them. I made one, only one. And it was because I was so lonely, the years rolled by.
Sure.
And it was just recently, only a couple of years ago. I'm 444 years old.
Good number.
Oh, that's quite old.
Good
yeah.
Yes. So I wanted to create my own, one of my own, because the other vampires, well, I don't even know where they are, and that's probably for the best.
Mm. You're a loner anyway.
I am not.
I feel like you are, yeah.
A particularly strong vampire in terms of the tree of the vampires. I'm only a... If the vampire with network is a tree, I'm a little tiny twig at the very, very top.
You sapling,
so,
you.
Well, still stronger than any. Anyway, well, I can still do all sorts of nifty things, but there are much more powerful vampires than I. So I do not want to attract too much attention, especially from the ones who can control the whole thing. And
well, you're the first one on the TorontoCast, so I think you hold some sort of a sway over us.
Well, we like you anyway.
Somehow you've acquired a piece of us.
I enjoy you, and I enjoy humans. A lot of the vampires do not. I choose to hang around humans often.
He just called us human.
How dare he?
No.
You know I'm older than you.
No, not you guys. I'm just saying that humans.
Oh, other humans.
695 years old, thank you very much. I've got you topped, my good friend.
I just like to let people guess
just don't,
my age.
I'm just not allowed to drink blood. That became taboo about 300 years ago for me, at least.
Well,
you know, I'm sure that it was taboo much longer before that. But then vampires became the thing to do. So I'm sure that's when you got bit.
No. Well, I had no control over it, you know. It was simple. I mean, I was out in the fields in the old country of Hungary. And then this bat flew down and bit me on the toe. And
on the toe?
Yes. And it was, yeah, it wasn't one bat. It was about a flock of, you know, 150 bats.
Ooh. That's a lot of
and
bats.
They, yeah, well, that's about...
Is that hard for you to relive?
Is it traumatic?
Moment?
Or? Yeah.
It was okay, because as a human, I was quite old to begin with. I was already 44, and in those days, most people only lived to about 25, 30 years old.
Sure. You were like the Methuselah of your generation then.
I was already past my due day, so the bats came, and they started to tear into my human flesh, and I remember it. And
but now you can pass as 44, because everybody's... past middle age, you know.
Yeah,
you're in good company now.
You know, it was weird because I don't know why the bats chose me. I mean, there were other people out working. It was late in the evening.
You do seem like a supple man. Maybe they thought you were full of blood. Who knows?
Who knows?
I've never heard you call another man supple before.
Sorry.
So
it looks like it was a morph vampire that came down. And yeah, there were quite a few bats that partook. And
so maybe there was one solid vampire and the rest of them were his fledglings.
No, though, it was one vampire.
Oh, the whole thing?
Coming in as a swarm. Yeah. When I morph into vampire, I don't just morph into one little tiny vampire.
You become a flock of bats.
A flock is...
Where would your mass go if you turned into one bat, right? That doesn't make sense. So flock makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, you... Where would I go? I would get out of the trouble that I was in, and I would probably try to take out whomever is troubling me as best I could.
Sure.
But mostly it's an escape of extreme circumstances. I did morph into a group of bats.
What is your favorite animal to morph into? Like, if you could choose...
Well, understand, if you morph into 150 bats, it's going to take about 2 to 3 weeks to come back into human form.
That's a long time.
And
that's got to feel weird,
so,
right?
Yeah.
It's a very painful, slow process of... the molecules and molecular change that...
You know, I read that caterpillars, when they go into a cocoon, turn into a slurry and then turn into a butterfly.
Really?
They completely turn into mush. Is that a similar thing? Like, do all your bats turn into a mush and then you turn back into yourself?
Like a gelatin?
Yeah, it's similar to that, I would say. Yeah.
The coffin is a good representation of a cocoon, then.
It really is, actually. Right? It's a great metaphor. Yeah. So are you saying that if we catch you in between your morphing, that we could bring gelatin
molds?
And
gelatin,
make Jello molds.
You could not.
I mean, I would never.
Jello
I would
Brian
never,
Van.
For one thing, but is it possible?
You would never be able to find me.
Okay, well, that's
as
good.
I was morphing, as I would choose
Jello
a
Brian
place
Van.
Where no one would ever look. You could try.
Jello B.
In fact, Van. I challenge you to try.
Jello B. Offa.
Yes, it's nice. Possible. You
Jello
can
B.
catch me.
Jello B. Van.
We got there in the end. Anyway.
I was headed there. I'm sorry.
In an uncomfortable. I do have weaknesses.
Oh, sure, yeah. We all
yes,
do.
You could. You could well, get me you in must have gelatinous to... state. Of, you know, and I'm vulnerable at that point. But, you know, it's hard to find. Underneath some rock in the forest, you know.
Yeah, solidifying.
Yeah.
Changing. Yeah. My favorite thing would be probably a coyote.
Really?
Oh, that sounds like wolf. Fun.
That's easy. Because you can morph into that, and then you can morph back.
The mass is probably
I
pretty similar,
I don't change
similar,
it
right?
to multiple coyotes. Or it's just
that
one.
Would be, yeah.
One, actually.
Because they don't large. Swarm. They have the pack, so that would be a lot different than bats.
Yeah.
Right, right. No, I just become one coyote. That's it.
Because they're closer because to human size. I mean, you know, one that, becoming another one. Yeah.
Right. You just shift form and back into the one.
So, now I know that they're
switching
not...
Switching to bats
I,
or bees...
I know.
Do you do bees?
Like, yes, yes, killer bees.
Brian Van nice. Can become a swarm of killer bees.
Killer bees, well, that's what they've shown snakes. in the documentaries, in the nature documentaries, right?
Every time they show the killer bees, is that just a vampire in other form?
Not always.
I think that there was, it was in the original documentation, wasn't it? Killer bees, guess. that was one of the original.
Wow, I need to see that one. Yeah. I need to catch up. I mean,
well, that was more in the book.
Was it made after 1970? Because I probably haven't seen it yet.
It wasn't a movie.
I mean, I need to catch up.
They didn't have. I don't think they had any way to make killer bees to put on screen. So okay. I think that was in the book that I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. But so I was thinking, since I know that they're not real, that werewolves obviously don't exist. You know. So would it be okay to assume that when people think about werewolves, it's actually a vampire that's in coyote form? I could see that. Because I don't.
Maybe. You know. Did you
ever walk on two legs when you were a coyote?
Is it part of the process?
No, I don't. Oh, gosh. I've never come across a werewolf. Per se.
Exactly, sure. Yeah, that's why
this
I don't think
this is not
they,
to
they
say
exist.
That they do not exist.
Oh.
It's just that...
They're just fairy tales. Compared to vampires?
Well...
I mean, I've got one right in front of me now. I can
I don't
see
have a werewolf
time I
in
met
front of
you.
Me?
Remember that bar that we met at back at Bonnie Ramone's band that was playing?
At Howlers. That's when we met Brian.
Yeah.
And dude, there was some
right. That was the first time we met you.
Who told me they were a bad? They were a werewolf.
No. Really, there was a werewolf there too.
Was that our friend? Was that our friend, the admiral? I could assume that he wants to be a werewolf.
I don't think he was there, but I bet he would say that.
You're right.
Some sort of battle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, whether he was a real werewolf,
he had a lot of claims. Like you, have you got hard proof of your vampirism? Could we just see you transform into a bat? Just this once?
A bat?
A bunch of bats. A bunch of bats.
I'm not going to change into a bat.
Oh, that's
right.
It takes you so long. Yeah. Well, the interview.
That
would be it.
We'd have to pause the interview.
Fly away to the woods somewhere and then sit in a pile of muck for 2.5 to 3 weeks while I pull myself back into human like form.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
As much as I love you guys.
Yeah. And
that's an awful lot of work.
That is so much work. I believe you. I don't need the work. You don't need to show your work.
And I want to get this podcast out there. So, yeah, I can't wait for that. Yeah. I don't care that much. But, yeah.
But maybe
it'll be
later
your birthday
tonight,
by then.
Okay.
I will show you the coyote thing if you want.
Oh, I would
that
love that.
That would be very cool, actually.
Yes.
So,
mind me.
Are you...
Because I can sing.
Becoming Mr. Arm's birthday soon?
I am thinking about it.
Because Mr. Arm's going to have a robot and a vampire birthday.
It's not
then.
My birthday. It's not my birthday. It's Perkins' birthday, my manservant. I figure he deserves the birthday more than I do because, you see, I've had so many birthdays. As I said, I'm a bit older than you. I've had so many birthdays, I don't need them. But this old son of a bitch is so old and doddering that he needs every little party that he
can needs
get.
Some love,
cheers
I think.
You,
he's a wonderful man. Here's to you, Brian.
Likewise,
tonight,
Anton.
We are whining. We're whining tonight.
I don't
more than usual.
I don't mind, do I?
Whoop, there's a fucking bug on me.
Oh.
Brian, I think not part me. Of you ended
it's
up...
not, well...
Do you do stink bugs? Because there's one... you left could. One of your brother
that
over
would
here.
A lot. Yeah, that
but they're so
lot.
Stupid. They can't fight anything.
They are really stupid. You know, I would not want to change into stink bugs.
Sometimes, like, when the townspeople attack with their, you know, their spikes and their tools or what
it's for,
and they try to come to my castle and pry open the coffin with their whatever.
Why haven't we seen your castle? Castle.
Oh, it's very close.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
I mean, you've seen
it's
our
right
manor. I think we ought to see your castle.
I wasn't sure that Pittsburgh had any castles.
It's in Monroeville.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yes. It's on
you
the
know,
corner of Strosham.
A member of Hell lives in Monroeville as well.
Does.
So you've got, you've
one of
got
the
some
Cenobites
good company.
Lives yeah. in Monroeville.
Yes. Yeah.
From what
I
understand.
I feel comfortable there.
Yeah.
Something about
I think it's
me.
Made for you, sure.
Yeah.
It's very,
a lot
very
of undead
soothing.
History there, you know? Mm.
Very soothing.
A lot of undead just walking around the malls, for sure.
Yes,
it.
I love the mall.
Do you know
yes.
that I used to be the Easter Bunny at that mall for 4 years?
Is that right?
I was, and I saw plenty of undead activity.
Oh, good
wow.
Lord.
Okay.
Some of them even peed on you.
Yeah, well, that's a special time in life when the undead pee on you. You're in a bunny costume.
Well, there you have it, Trundle Files, Brian Vamp. Our friendly neighborhood vampire. Sometimes they're hard to track down, but this guy just kind of came to us. We're happy to have him for some of our events, and he actually played our latest Valentine's Day show, which was one hell of a treat. You can find Brian skulking around the attic at Trundle Manor, but mostly in his bat form. But when he's not doing that, he's performing around Pittsburgh. You can contact him on his website at reverbnation.com/BrianVamp. BryanVamp. Vamp. Up next to help us stir the cauldron at Trundle Manor, we've got Julie the Witch. Her band's name is Devils in the Details, and we'll lead her in with her very own trip to hell. We'll be right back. I think we've got a real live witch in our audience. What do you think?
Late witch.
That's okay.
Well, you can move that mic anywhere that's comfortable for you. Feel free. I'm still trying to get the hang of like other people's microphones.
Okay. Can you tell like how the level's good?
It sounds nice.
I can tell that microphone stand moves a lot. Because it's going.
I'll keep my feet off. Yeah.
No, it's good now.
Yeah, it sounds fun.
Okay.
Oh, wonderful.
What are we talking about?
So here we are. This is once again another Trundle Manor interview with one of the dark forces that surround Trundle Manor itself.
Would you like some?
Okay. Are you sure we can get you a glass?
Come on.
We'd be happy to booze you up.
I'm all right. Okay.
This is one of Trundle Manor's witches. Do you have what do you consider yourself? Is there a better word to use?
There's like a bug crawling right above your head on the
Oh, don't mind that. You know, that's a remnant of Brian Vamp.
He left him here. We have
he's not very good at re-articulating his body.
He said he could turn into bees.
He's kind of listening in on the situation.
Part of the interview was he said he could turn into bees and stink bugs, mm-hmm. but like a whole swarm of them, and sometimes they don't all rematerialize. So.
Okay. Oh, right. So it's just a remnant of a vampire. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've got some extra.
Gotcha. So back to what I consider myself.
Yeah. Sure.
Definitely a witch.
Okay. Is that the culturally appropriate term to use?
Yes. Let's be PC.
Like the PC.
I'm just kind of curious.
I'm starting to get confused myself with that stuff. Like, is it transgendered or intersex or transsexual? I'm like, I just want to be polite. I don't know.
I just want to be trans positive in this world.
Which is fine.
Okay.
I think when you start out and you realize that this is like what you want to do in terms of spirituality, like we all sort of like in your teen years, you discover like the Lola Wynn Press, you know?
Yeah.
And you start reading Silver Raven Wolf and discovering Wicca, you know, things like that.
My parents don't have all the answers. Oh, look at that.
No.
Right. Plus, I was really sort of repelled by the monotheistic sort of male dominated religions of the world.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I think that this spoke to me more in a spiritual sense. I always felt more connected with nature, things like that. So you learn about Wicca first, you know?
Yeah.
And you go through all these tenets of this, like, Wiccan read and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so you have your own set of morals and guidelines that you have, like, in Christianity, you see heaven and hell. You know, and the reason you don't do bad things is because, you know, because
somebody will get you if you don't.
Right. Yeah. And it also exists across, like, the New Age stuff, too.
Mm.
You're not going, like, you'll see karma.
Yeah.
And that's the means of control.
I think that's more like, oh, hey, there's something that's going to happen to you if you're bad.
Right. And I think that that's...
I think that's wrong.
The whole punishment, negative reinforcement thing.
And I think, like, good and evil, I mean, I hate terms, but if we have to label something good and evil, like, you're... like being a good person and wanting good things exists intrinsically without the fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that.
It's like the whole my manager's being nice to me because the corporate manager is being a dick to them. So somebody is like looking over somebody else's shoulder. Like,
right.
It's not really altruistic. It's somebody else breathing down their
or
neck.
Or that you have to, like, to be responsible in some way for the bad things that you do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'll just be chaos. And I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think that individuals and human beings have the capability to.
Good evening. We interrupt this ongoing Trundlecast to bring you yet another news bulletin from the desk in the attic at Trundle Manor.
With us today, we have Trundle Manor's Explorer in Residence. Sir, could you tell us what the issue is today?
Well, of course, dear boy. You see, we've got wonderful specimens at Trundle Manor that I hope to acquire in my hunt through the dark depths of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Running amok all over Trundle Manor. I've got to capture them once again, but I could always use some help. Keep an eye out for the dung left about by the blackguards and horrible things of the manor. If you happen upon some of their droppings, please don't be alarmed. They are not hard, but they are quite docile. Just bring it to the attention of your docent for the night, and I will be down thusly to dispose of the horror. Thank you. This has been one of Mr. Arm's many multiple personalities.
No, thank you, sir, and we hope that we don't run into one of these poopies you speak of. Good Lord, these Italian loafers couldn't handle the muck. Well, Trundle Files will return you to this week's episode, already in progress.
Control themselves.
Yeah.
Without a major religion telling them. So, back to being a witch. I mean,
yes,
you know,
yes.
I started down those lines.
We're getting very hardcore into it way too soon.
Okay.
I want to talk about spells and fun
things. I think he wants a ridiculous situation.
Okay. I know I started this wrong. That's,
No. But, like, we'll go, you mean, like, into the moral philosophy behind Wicca and witches?
Oh, please don't.
Okay.
I sadly care very little about that.
Okay.
That's nothing on you.
Well, that's
just
where I started in terms of being a quote-unquote witch.
Yeah.
I mean, as I grew older, you start to discover and sort of snowball into information on the occult, and I became more of an occultist. Then I am a witch because I do practice magic, if you want to apply, whatever word you want to apply to it.
So do you do a lot of, like, what do you consider magic? I'm curious about that. As far as, like, modern witches go, that's what I'm most curious about. Like, what do you consider modern magic that is something that you adhere to?
I guess as I go about my daily life, whereas in some people, write affirmations, or some people go to church, and some people do whatever it is they do, some people do nothing. I use practical magic as a means of manifesting my own will and spirituality.
Okay.
I will use magic for but basically everything. It's part of my daily life. You know, every night before I go to bed, or whatever path workings I'm doing at the time. Like right now, I'm really into the San Muerte.
Okay.
Awesome.
So I've been, keeping candles lit and created this little altar. She's in my car. And then all of a sudden, you'll see that this stuff that you put out there starts showing up back to you.
That's really cool.
So I see her everywhere now. Like she'll show up in TV shows that you never notice. I'll be like, she'll just show up in different forms of her persona. Or, of the holy death.
Like, so I feel like
everywhere.
There's a lot of research connected with all that kind of stuff. So to realize that it's coming back to you and giving you signs,
since
you need
you
to
don't
know
have,
the history of it.
Yeah, you don't have like a priest that's telling you specifically how to be and what's happening.
I think that makes
so,
it more intelligent
like,
than
you have
mainstream
to figure
religions.
It out on your own.
It's your own
right?
learning.
Right. So I continue to...
Do you have like a mother witch that helped you get involved in this?
In the very, very beginning, sure.
Really?
I had people that like led me down more of a pagan Wicca path.
Okay.
And then as I grew and started learning different path workings and studying different ancient grimoires, whatever path working you go down, you'll sort of find someone. Okay. Like when I started working with hoodoo, I found a hoodoo lady.
Nice.
And things like that.
Neat. Are there Pittsburgh hoodoo ladies?
I'm sure that there are. Oh. Mine isn't in particularly in Pittsburgh.
Okay. Yeah.
But, you just learn the craft and then you start applying it to everything that you want to do or manifest or bring to you or bring to someone else. And, we're very rooted in reality. So you kind of have to figure out a way to change your belief structure in which you can allow magic to work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I use quantum theory and physics and learn what they're saying about particles and how nothing's really manifested or real until we observe it.
I love that very new modern science, like string theory and quantum physics, kind of relates to the very ancient pagan religions and stuff. Like
magic. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that it all becomes one.
It's almost like there just wasn't a word for it. That's the only difference.
Yeah, there was a bunch of politics that got in the way of
like
words.
You know, the witches of old knew about it. They just didn't have, you know, the fancy words to talk about it. They had their own words.
Right. And then, you know, I just start playing with, you know, different, you learn in the very beginning all your herbs and what you can use them for and all your oils and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then I started to really study the mechanics of magic and like the chaos magicians of the 80s, Aleister Crowley even, you learn about sigils. Sigil magic's one of the main uses of magic that I use.
Really?
Absolutely, because it's so instantaneous. You're like, I want this.
Yeah.
And I'll do it for simple things, like something at work's not gonna like go and ship in time, and I'll do a sigil.
Really?
And I'll get it to go.
That happens? That works?
And they think you're just a great employee.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Like, well, meaning I'm just making it easier for myself.
Yeah.
Or, for instance, like, just most recently, we went to New York City.
Yeah.
See Hedwig, you know?
I definitely want to talk to you about that, because that sounds so exciting.
So, like, I rented, there's this hotel called Night, and it's all black, so, of course, that appeals to me, right?
Where is this?
It's in Times Square. I mean, it's the...
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. And everything's painted black, and the inside's all black and white.
Oh, my God.
And I just bought, like, the cheapest room for, like, $500 for the whole weekend.
Wow.
And it was like a queen size room, but they're really tiny. And I was reading like the shitty reviews of the bed and stuff. So I went and I did a sigil, and I was like, I want an upgrade to the king bed. Well, lo and behold, I got there. It was the new moon on, you know, the spring equinox and things like that. So like the energy for someone like me that I'm in tune with is very high.
Right.
I get there and they upgraded us to the penthouse.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. And the thing is, you can always say that's a coincidence, but...
Well,
I don't know.
Well,
but, you know.
Look, everybody believes in a specific thing. And the way that I believe in a lot of things is everybody has their own God. And you can call it whatever you want to call it. But there's specific ways that people have something attached to them that makes specific things happen. I consider it luck. That's what I call my God. So you may have some of your Wiccan gods, and I have something that I just... you know, generalizes luck. Some people call it Satan. Some people call it gods. You know, it's all those things. So,
higher power, basically.
Right. So you have like a specific luck that is tied to you that allows you to get things done when you just will them to be done. Like, this is your time. This is to me. This is just me speaking. You know, I'm not obviously not going to change your mind, but like you can will them to be your way, and your Wiccan thing gives you the power and the strength to be able to do that. You know,
I wouldn't necessarily say I'm Wiccan at this point.
I'm sorry, my terminology
might be off.
But
they have like the Wiccan, like you have this guideline of rules per se, and when you're starting out. But like I feel like I've evolved past that.
Okay,
and like and in terms of being my own God, in terms of creation, I am.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I'm, you know, I have a tendency to be more, you know, white or right hand path, we'll say.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's not, I've studied deep into the left hand path too, and I will absolutely take tenets of that magic and apply it to what I want to do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I feel like from what I know about you, you're mostly an altruistic type person, and I've never known you to be shitty towards somebody or, you know.
Yeah, I'm really not.
You're a very nice person, so it doesn't surprise me.
Well, I believe in that, and I believe in kindness,
Yeah.
But see, and on top of that, there'd be somebody thinking that it was karma that was helping you. You know what I mean? Whereas I call it luck, somebody calls it karma, you call it...
Yeah,
you know,
it just seems like a different word for the same energy.
Yeah, a lot goes back to... And then the older I got, the more I realized that I need less and less stuff to perform ritual magic.
Yeah.
And that it was really just my own
will.
It's
kind of just within you.
Yeah, it's a feeling, it's an aura, it's a...
And you,
that's why I love the witch part of things, because it's almost as if people are able to tap into that idea that, like, yes, I know what my particular luck is. I'm going to play that particular luck. When I wake up in the morning, I have three different colored socks. Three. That's all that they are. Only three. And I will pick out three different ones on the first try every single time. That's just the way that my luck runs. And as long as I'm used to that, it doesn't bother me.
Right.
Okay. If I wasn't used to it, then it would be an issue. Things like that.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, once you're aware, like the witch... Like you, like a witch, like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're aware of that thing happening to you, then you're able to almost modify it through complacency to understand your personal aura or luck or you know, whatever you would want to call it.
I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, that if we go into very, like, simple terms in terms of the law of attraction, mm-hmm. a lot of, like, the basis of magic and trying to pull things back into a certain manner.
Can you explain that real quick for people that are listening that may not know what the law of attraction is?
Well, I guess a lot of people, like, in a very rudimentary book, like The Secret, meaning they create affirmations and say, you know, I want this to happen. You concentrate very much on that in the present tense, not I will have this or this is going to happen, because
that sounds almost selfish.
Well, you're telling the universe that you don't have it right now, so you're just manifesting wanting this particular thing.
Yes, you're putting your want out there without an expectation, sort of.
Well, you want to phrase things in the present,
right.
Like I want to be a better musician.
Okay.
So, like, I wouldn't put it out there as an I will be a better musician, because then I'm always going to be, but I'm not actually becoming that.
Right. Yeah.
Or
you're always striving for that.
Right, whatever thing. So, like, you learn to think in the terms of the present to bring things to you.
Okay.
And that being the law of attraction. And, I mean, it works very simply, but I mean, it's working all the time without us even realizing that we're creating our own reality. I mean, like, I could look at this bell here sitting on your desk, like the hotel bell that, you know, you can ring. Can I ring?
Feel free to ring. Yeah.
That. And I might just be going about my other business tonight, and another, like, I'll see a commercial and there's the bell and it rings, and, like, things are indiscriminately just coming right back at us.
That's
all the time.
Great. That's almost like visions, but they're just going through your reality.
Right.
And I wonder if that kind of thing happened before, like, the internet and television and things where media was flying at you at all times.
Right.
You know? Like,
exactly. Yeah. I think to some degree it was. I think media's really changed the game and television and things like that, because there's so much more that we're being bombarded with. But if you go back to the law of attraction and sort of use those tenets of us creating our own reality, which I absolutely believe that we are, without even knowing it, it's all in a very subconscious level. The more conscious you become of it, the greater you become at manipulating things that you can. That doesn't mean that everything is always a success and you can't do one spell per se and be like, that's it. I did my spell. It'll happen. Magic sometimes goes over a long course. You could work something for months, for years. And, you know, you can't. And one very important thing, too, is to get all your energy out in the particular ritual that you're doing and put it out there and try to put it out of your mind and release it. Because the more you think about it, the less likely it is to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I realize that's a catch-22, because if you want something so bad, it's hard not to think about it.
Right.
Sure.
But you have to release your connection, or release your
obsession, almost.
Correct.
Yeah.
In order for it to free itself and be able to come back to you.
It's almost like personal connection. Like, the more that you want someone to be your friend, the less they care about you. Like, once you start to be a little bit aloof.
Cool.
Yeah, if you play it cool, then maybe they'll come around. You know, they might. They
like
might
a
understand.
Cat.
Yeah. Yes.
Very much like
exactly.
A cat.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why witchcraft and cats are so closely connected, you know, because
maybe they are considered familiar.
Yeah, your best bet is to just understand what you want, put it out there, and
I always thought it was because cats are very much alien and do whatever the hell they please and know exactly what they want, and so do intelligent women that know whatever they want. And I think that just, you know, the male dominated society just cast them both out of favor and said, you know, these guys are all going to hell. I always assume that's how they're connected.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was only a third of what you're going to hear from Julie the Witch, one of our wonderful Trundle Manor guests. Julie is in a kick-ass band called Devils in the Details. I'm sure you can get their music from various places online. I'll be providing links on the Trundle Manor website. Okay, well, that was only a third of what you're going to hear from Julie the Witch, one of our wonderful Trundle Manor guests. Julie is in a kick-ass band called Devils in the Details. I'm sure you can get their music from various places online. I'll be providing links on the Trundle Manor website and playing some of her music on this podcast. On the next session of hers, you're going to hear a little bit about just a very taste of these Russians that we ended up talking to, some programmers that I'm eventually going to get to make an industrial robot the size of one of our skyscrapers. for all of our nefarious plans, of course. We talk about the beliefs of Mr. Arm and what drives his decisions. So you'll hear about the religion that is Mr. Arm's religion. That's going to be for next week, so make sure that you tune in for Julie's second installment of her interview coming up. And right next, we have Little Devil, who's going to tell us a little bit about what it's like to live at Trundle Manor 100% and all the time. So up next is Little Devil. Enjoy. Okay, this is Mr. Arm, and in the studio we've got one of the dearest and nearest guests of Trundle Manor, because no manor is complete without our very own black cat. Of course, Velda's with me for this interview.
Hello.
As well. And we've got Little Devil.
Hi, Little Devil.
Hey, buddy. How's it going? Well, you know, you don't have to come off, you know, so angry immediately, bud. This isn't going to be a very long interview if you're going to be that angry.
Jesus, dude.
Look, I'm going to feed you later. Don't worry about it. So anyway. Well, okay, Little Devil, what do you think about living at Trundle Manor? What is your, you know, what is your position? Yeah, you're going to get fed later. That was part of the deal, buddy.
We fed you twice already today.
So what do you think is your big part of being a part of Trundle Manor? Like, do you enjoy being here? Is it all about the food, apparently? Or, you know, do you just want to be a part of something bigger than yourself? I know, I realize how that came up. I'm sorry, but
that's just not even nice. He's a little Zaftig gentleman.
I know, our little Zephyr. I don't know what
you didn't used to be a Zeppelin.
Buddy, you've been part of the manor before the manor even existed, and we love you for that. We, you know, you are the little spoon of Trundle Manor. What do you think of that, bud? Ow.
Aww.
Well, we love you, too. Okay. I had to stop that. I understand how ridiculous that was and how stupid it was for me to put that in, but I wanted to do something for the black cat, for the little devil, and it was short of having Velda or Polly do meowing sounds. I ended up spending part of a morning recording all the noises that he makes when we don't feed him right away. That's where you got a lot of that from. I'm not going to subject you to the rest of that thing. It's really not that funny or that good. I get it. All right. For Little Devil, from now on, this will be Mr. Arm speaking, as opposed to my cat. But do come and visit him at Trundle Manor. He'd like it. He's a tour cat. He stays around when people are there. So, enough of this crap.
I'm Belle Devon Minx.
And I'm Billy Don Trundle.
For Trundle Trivia. So each week I'm going to have a classic old-time Hollywood movie question, and Billy here is going to have a question about
villainous history. My favorite thing on earth.
Fantastic.
I do like to consider myself the resident historian, and Velda here is a master of movies.
Yeah, both things I feel like fit the manor quite well. We just want to pass on our arcane knowledge to all of our followers here.
There's nothing we love more than useless facts around here, so.
Yeah, that's all we ever talk about is useless facts. So my question for this week is, what classic horror movie famously had its iconic sets reused to film a parody of it 33 years later?
And my history question is, which king of England was convinced that his bones were made of glass?
And we will actually air the answers to these questions at the beginning of next week's show, so you can ponder on them an entire week.
Or just be a asshole and Google them.
You're right. I mean, you have every right to, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. What else is the internet for other than to just ruin trivia forever?
Yeah. We try and make things arcane and fantastic, and you just ruin the mystery by looking it up.
We actually, read the books and saw the movies. And
we did
know all this shit.
Decades of research.
Right. We've made it our life's work.
Dicks.
To know this stuff. And you people are just going to go and Google it and ruin it.
How very dare you.
That being said, we love you all, and please keep listening.
Of course.
Please, we're begging you.
So we will be able to hear the answers we'll give you the answers next week.
Yeah, so just sit on that for a while, Pittsburgh, and stay tuned and listen again.
I'm Velda Von Minx.
And I'm Billy Don Trundle, bidding you a very good evening.
Good evening.
Well, that's the end of this week's Trundlecast. I hope you enjoyed our guests and the dulcet tones of the manor. We had some drinks, some friends, and some trivia. Tune in a week for the next episode. And while you're waiting, visit trundlemanor.com, where you'll be able to see a list of all of our future events, like gallery shows and movie nights. Or book a tour and experience the manor all by yourself. Be sure to peruse our videos and photo pages to get a glimpse into the lives of its inhabitants. And you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr just by typing Trundle Manor into their search boxes. Don't forget to send your stories of Trundle Manor, both unusual and unnatural, to the Trundlecast at trundlemanor.com. We may even read them right here. Now cut off your ear and stick it in a jar, because it's useless until we talk to you again on the next Trundlecast.